Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Recent religious surveys have found that about 3/4 of Americans believe in the existence of heaven. That might be fewer than there used to be, but it's still a significant majority. And yet out of that number, only 40% or so, that is 2 out of every 5 of those, say that you need to believe in God to get there. So if you ask the other 60%, the other 3 out of 5, what one should do to inherit eternal life, they, and probably more than a few of the rest, they will say that it has something to do with your good works. They will say that one may have the hope of heaven because they've been honest and fair in their dealings, because they've never intentionally hurt or harmed anyone, because they've worked hard and earned everything that they have, because they've lived a peaceful and quiet life. They'll even boast that they've been helpful and generous to those who are in need, giving charitably to the poor. As for most people, one inherits eternal life by living a good life. Christians, however, and especially us Lutherans, who know what the Bible teaches about salvation, will confess that it is not a matter of works, but rather by grace that one is saved through faith. We will say that we do not, indeed, we cannot inherit eternal life except by grace, without our merits, without our works. These are known as the exclusive particles in our Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions. And this is the truth. This confession is right, for it is what the Bible teaches. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The righteous shall live by faith. We are justified by God's grace as a gift to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted as righteousness. The scriptures state this over and over and over again, and therefore we believe, teach, and confess the same. But then you have the answer that was given by our Lord Jesus Christ to the lawyer's test in today's gospel lesson. He stood up and asked Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And then when he followed up Jesus' question and response about what was written in the law with, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself," Jesus didn't say, "Wrong." He didn't say, "No, it's by grace alone and not a result of works." What did he say? He said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Do this. Keep the law. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself." And the Lord Jesus says, "Yes, you will live." He is perfect. His words are perfect. And therefore, the answer he gave to the lawyer is the perfect answer. The lawyer asked Jesus a question about good works, so Jesus responded with an answer directing him to God's law. For God's law is the perfect guide for all good works. There is nothing lacking in the law. It embraces all of our life. And it does, in fact, offer the reward of heaven, of eternal life, to the one who keeps it, along with it many other earthly and spiritual rewards besides. So, elsewhere in the Gospels, when a rich young man came to Jesus with the same exact question as the lawyer, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "If you would enter life, keep the commandments." But in order to achieve this highest reward of the law, to earn eternal life in heaven, the requirement is nothing less than perfection. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The law demands perfect love from you for both God and your neighbor. I don't know how many people think that is true, who think they will get into heaven by their works, but it is true. You may find here on earth ribbons, medals, promotions, and raises for your best efforts. There may be allowances for minor mistakes, slip-ups here and there. But there are no such allowances before the holy and righteous God who sits on his heavenly throne. If you would inherit eternal life by what you do, if you would earn heaven by your works, then you must do the law. Love God, love your neighbor, and do it perfectly, without one slip-up. Jesus, in today's parable, unpacks for the lawyer and for us what this love, particularly of the neighbor, means. This perfect love demanded by the law. In the first place, it means to love everyone, not only your friends, but your enemies also as yourself. When the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus responded with this parable, showing the lawyer that the one who not only loves his friends, but his enemies, proves himself to be a neighbor, fulfills the law of love. The law demands that we are just as concerned about the well-being of all people, and especially our enemies, as our own. This is what the Samaritan did. Though the Jews hated Samaritans, and the feeling was mutual, the Samaritan had compassion on his enemy as he found him lying on the road in mortal danger. As he came upon that Jewish man lying in the road, the Samaritan didn't snicker. He didn't smirk. He didn't rejoice that this Jew, this hated Jew, was suffering. But instead, he loved him. He showed compassion toward him. He sympathized with him. So also Jesus says elsewhere, "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Therefore, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." In the second place, Jesus teaches us by this parable that loving according to the law's standard means loving completely, with everything you have, making the greatest sacrifice for all, friends and enemies alike. True love required by the law doesn't ask whether somebody else might be able to help, or how much help is too much to give, or whether one truly deserves and will be appreciative of this aid. No, true love gladly bears the burdens of others. It suffers rather than allowing someone else to suffer. It gives, even if it means having less for yourself. Yes, true love is ready to give everything, money, goods, health, reputation, even life itself, for the neighbor if necessary. And so the Samaritan, as he came upon this man lying in the road, did not excuse himself from helping because he'd seen the priest and Levite already pass by, thinking they should have taken care of it. Nor did he worry about his own safety, fearful that the robbers might still be close at hand, and therefore passing by quickly, no. And even after he helped him in the moment, he did not content himself with leaving him at the inn and going on his way. No, when he saw the man, when he had compassion, he went to the man and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set this man on his own animal, and he brought him to the inn. In so doing, he truly fulfilled the words of the New Testament, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And finally, love according to this parable means to love at all times, unceasingly. The perfect love demanded by the law never grows tired of loving, never grows weak or weary, but like the Samaritan, is always ready and joyful, happy to serve. Again, the Samaritan man didn't just take this wounded man to the inn and then pass him off to somebody else. Instead, he remained with him throughout the night, caring for him all those hours. And when the next day dawned, he paid the innkeeper for the care that he would continue to provide. But even that wasn't enough for the Samaritan. He then promised to return and would repay the innkeeper for any additional expenses that would come up. Truly, this perfect love of the Samaritan in Jesus' parable is the love about which Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, the kind of love that never ends. This is the kind of love demanded by the law, love that is for everyone, love that gives everything, love that lasts always. Do this, Jesus says, and you will live. Again, our Lord is telling the truth here, as he always does. Love everyone completely and unceasingly, and if you do this, if you perfectly fulfill the law, then you can expect to inherit eternal life. Jesus said, do this. But he did not say, you can do this. He did not say, this is possible for you. In his answer, he did not give the lawyer the impression that he could actually hope to keep the law perfectly and eternal life. In fact, Jesus' purpose here is quite the opposite, to bring the lawyer and all who hear this account to the knowledge that we cannot be saved by keeping the law. Jesus said, do this and you will live. It is as if he said, try your best. See if you can keep the law. And if you are honest with yourself, you will soon discover that you cannot, you have not, you will not. This parable is set before you this morning. Hear it as Jesus wills for you to hear it. Examine your life in light of this parable. Set yourself next to the Samaritan in his love. See if you have kept the law. See if you have loved as widely, completely, as constantly as the law demands, as the Samaritan did. Can you truly say that you've never, ever hated your enemy, persecutor, and slanderer? Can you say that you've been ready and willing every single hour of your life to make the greatest sacrifices for your neighbor? Can you say that you've never grown tired of showing love, never had a day where you were slow to be generous, to be kind, to forgive? Be honest. You can't say that. And if you can, you're only deceiving yourself. Nobody fulfills the law of love perfectly. Nobody can. More belongs to it, infinitely more than most people think. Those who think that they can earn their way into heaven by keeping this law are only fooling themselves. And that's without even getting to that first and greatest commandment, to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Nevertheless, the law must be fulfilled, or we must die despairing. The law cannot be abolished. And so many, like the lawyer, try to lessen the demands of the law in order to fulfill it. But this can't be done either. He asked, who is my neighbor? Thinking that perhaps maybe the law could be made more manageable, that he could exclude some people from the law of love and then maybe hope to inherit eternal life by his works. But Jesus shut the door on that very quickly. He taught the parable of the Good Samaritan. And by this parable, we are taught that the law's demands are inflexible. They are concrete and eternal. Go and do likewise means there are no loopholes in the law. The law must be done. Love must be perfect in order for us to inherit eternal life by our works. So what hope is there for us poor sinners? There is hope in the one who has kept the law perfectly. There is hope in the one who has loved God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind, and who has loved every single one of us, his neighbors, as himself. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who out of his boundless love took on our human nature that he might fulfill the law for us. And so he has. Jesus loved everyone. He loved all his neighbors. No matter who he was dealing with, he acted in love. He always repaid evil with good, misdeed with kindness, cursing with blessing, hatred with love. He wept for his persecutors. He prayed for his murderers. And he gave his life on the cross for the sins of the whole world, for everyone, for those who would believe in him, his disciples, and for those who hate him, his enemies. Jesus also loved completely, fully, giving everything that he had in love. He perfectly lived, suffered, and died in love, not for himself, not even an iota, but in every way for sinners. All that he thought, all that he said, all that he did, all that was done to him, he did and endured for you, for the world, for his enemies, for all. And Jesus also loved at all times, unceasingly. There was never a moment in which Jesus stopped loving. Nor is there a moment now when Jesus stops loving. The Apostle John writes in his Gospel, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But he not only loved his own believers, but Christ was and is unfailing in his love for his enemies too. He came into the world to seek and to save the lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And what did the world loved by God do? It nailed the Son to the cross. And yet even this was an act of God's love. There on the cross, the Son of God, Jesus, blessed and prayed for and died for all, the whole sinful world. Hear again that parable in this light. Think of who that good Samaritan could possibly be. No one but Jesus. Jesus, who came to us as we were wounded, beaten, indeed dead in our trespasses, without any hope for saving ourselves. Jesus, who was beaten and wounded and killed for us, so that as true God and true man, he could cure us by his blood. Not just a drop, but shedding his blood in a rich and full atoning flood. Who else but Jesus, who cleanses the wounds of our sins with the means of grace, his word and sacrament, even his holy precious blood and body given to us in this sacrament to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins? Who but Jesus, who carries us and brings us here to the church that we might remain under care and nourishment until he comes again in glory? This is the perfect, boundless, all-fulfilling love of Jesus. He kept the law perfectly, yes, and he did so for you, his neighbor. This we call his active obedience, that he perfectly obeyed every command of God, loved God, loved his neighbor. But his passive obedience is also significant. That is, he paid the penalty for all your violations of the law perfectly. All this, the credit for keeping the law and forgiveness for breaking the law, Jesus gives to you freely by grace and grace alone, and you receive it through faith and faith alone. This is the gospel. This is the gospel by which we are saved. And thus we rightly believe, teach, and confess according to Scripture that we have been saved by grace through faith, not our own doing, but the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We rightly believe, teach, and confess that the righteous shall live by faith, that we are justified by God's grace as a gift, that to us who do not work but believe in him who justifies the ungodly, our faith is counted as righteousness. The law has not been abolished, but it has been fulfilled. It is not that the law and the gospel contradict each other, but rather that we distinguish them from one another. The law of God, which is good and wise, says, "Do this and you will live." This is true. But the gospel, which shows the Father's grace, says, "Jesus has done it for you. Believe this and you will live." This is true. And it's to this word that we cling for the hope of salvation. It is by this word that we are certain that our inheritance is in heaven. and that we will be there with our Lord Jesus someday. And then, and only then, in such faith through the gospel, do we go forth and do likewise, loving our neighbor in weakness, imperfectly, but still truly, for that love flows from faith. The faith by which we inherit eternal life becomes active in love. Indeed, this is how our faith proves to be alive, through loving our neighbor. Jesus said, "Do this and you will live." This is the inflexible demand of the law, which requires perfect love toward God and the neighbor. For many people today and throughout history, like the lawyer, this is their only hope for heaven. But it is a false hope, soon to be brought to ruin. For no one can keep the law's demand perfectly. No one but Jesus Christ, who has kept the law, who has loved God, who has loved us perfectly, everyone always and completely. And by grace alone, he wills to give the inheritance to you, to be your own through faith in him. Christ has done this, and therefore you live. Believe in him alone, and eternal life is yours. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.